A long road also lies ahead in Afghanistan, and President Obama is expected to provide some road markers this month. The president is likely to announce how many American troops will start coming home in July. Obama's under pressure from the public and Congress to bring home a substantial number, but Defense Secretary Robert Gates says only a modest drawdown would be appropriate. Journalist Anna Bodkin has chronicled her recent visit to Afghanistan in this week's Foreign Policy magazine. Ms. Bodkin is in our studio. Anna, a long-term plan for a drawdown in U.S. troops in Afghanistan would suggest that there is some confidence that the situation is improving there. How does this square with what you've just seen on the ground there?
I just returned from Balkh province, which was until recently maybe one of the two provinces sort of safe, sort of secure, and sort of under the control of the Karzai government. Just in the last month, it seems that at least half of the province fell to Taliban control, into Taliban hands.
Well, when you say at least half of the province of Balkh fell to the Taliban, what does that mean? Was there fighting? Did they charge in? How does that work?
There was no fighting. What happens is men on motorcycles arrive at dusk and announce that the village is now going to be controlled by the Taliban. The Taliban will collect a 10% tax from all villagers. The Taliban will dispense Sharia law. The Taliban will persecute anybody who cooperates with the government or is perceived to cooperate with the government or with the international community. And that's basically it, because there are no security forces in these villages. There are no members of Afghan army, and there are no NATO forces.
And why not? I mean, that's why these troops are supposed to be there, to prevent villages from falling into Taliban hands, right?
That's a wonderful question. I guess the answer is another question. Why, for 10 years of Western presence in Afghanistan and billions of dollars that have been funneled into the country, why has nothing changed in these villages? Why are there still no roads? Why are there still no hospitals, no clinics, no schools? Why has life not changed? I guess my answer would be that these villages are not pertinent to anybody in any of the policymakers, either in Washington or in Kabul.
Well, they may be pertinent now. Last week, you were supposed to travel up to the little village of Oka in Balkh province. Tell us what happened as you were preparing to go up there.
Oka is a very small village, about 40 families living in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a desert. The night before I was supposed to come up for lunch, I got a phone call from my friends in the village who told me don't come. They told me that the village is now under Taliban control.
And did they give you a sense of, you know, how their day-to-day lives are going to change now that the Taliban rolled in on their motorcycles and took over the village?
What will happen, and this is the fear that I've heard expressed in Okan and in other villages everywhere in Afghanistan, the fear is that the Taliban comes and then NATO will follow, and then the war will come to Okan. And that, of course, everybody is worried about.
Okay, that's the fear. But, I mean, what about right now? I mean, this is a hamlet, as you say. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. Not many people live there. Why is it significant that the Taliban takes over a small place like this?
Is any of it significant? Would be a good question to ask. Is any of it significant in the larger scheme of things for 30 million Afghans who have seen their country be invaded and raided and slaughtered and tortured and ravaged by invaders and by local ethnic militias? I don't know. To me, it seems significant because it suggests that NATO is very far from providing security, that the Afghan government is very far from being capable of providing security or even securing villages that so far until now had been considered irrelevant.
Anna Bodkin's article about Balkh province is in Foreign Policy magazine. She's also the author of Waiting for the Taliban. Anna, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.